Pharaoh thing. It's a scary thought. What the Rosh Hashiva said, you can't give it back. Let's say Gezel Shena. That's a big one. How you act in the dorms is a big deal. Are you considerate of other people? And it's a huge thing as far as getting ready for life, especially marriage. And it's very real. How you act in the dorm is a big deal. And you can't give back the sleep. So you heard what he said about taking your shoes off. You hop what that meant? You had to walk quietly. In other words, in the old days, that was the move. Be extra careful. When you come back to the dorm at night, your friend might be sleeping in his room. So when you walk up the stairs and down the hallway, you take your shoes off. That way you're not making the noise when you walk. That's what he was talking about. That already is already is special. That's one big thing he spoke about. And then he spoke about Lashon Hara and Rabbanim. That's a big thing. He spoke about that a lot. You can't do that. It's a terrible thing. It's the biggest, one of the biggest sicknesses of our generation. Families that are otherwise religious but think they can rip on the Rabbanim at the Shabbos table. It's terrible. It's the end of the world. A, it's usur. That should be enough. But it's not enough sometimes. And it's the worst thing because you're training your children, and your most important child is you. Eila told us, Noach, Noach. Who's Noach's most important descendant? Noach. You're training yourself how to go through life. And then you can train your kids too, Be'ezus Hashem. So what are you training yourself? What are you training your kids? To rip on the Rabbanim. Now, we live in a generation where the outside world is built on two things. Money and freedom. Do whatever you want. As long as you don't hurt somebody else, do whatever you want. That's the general shita. Okay, but we're not free. We're not free. We have to serve Hashem. We're not free. So we want to train ourselves and our children to respect authority. The ultimate capital A is Hashem. Hopefully your kids respect you, and hopefully they respect the local Rabbanim. It's very important. You train your kids to respect rabbinic authority. How do you train your kids to respect rabbinic authority? By having a respect for them yourselves. Talking about them positively. For sure not negative, either nothing or positive. It's a huge deal. Then you train your kids by example to respect the Rabbanim. Then they hopefully listen to the Rabbanim. And then hopefully they stay solid. So, Rosh Yeshiva likes me to mention, I grew up what you guys call it a regular. Whatever word you want to use. Modern Orthodox, whatever word you want to use. I didn't dress like this when I was younger. And my parents, I have five siblings, six of us. And well, Orthodox, and serve Hashem, Baruch Hashem, and doing pretty well. So my parents have a big schus. And my parents, they're older people now, so they have lots of friends with kids, and it's not the same in my neighborhood. So I spent a lot of time thinking, what did my parents do right that my siblings and I turned out, Baruch Hashem, pretty well? So this is part of the answer. My parents have tremendous respect for Rabbanim. And in all my years at my parents' Shabbos table, I never heard them once say anything negative about the two main Rabbanim in the neighborhood. The two main ones are the ones that spoke about. Never once. So sometimes I try to write books. So I have a line in one of my books. I said, the silence was deafening and we listened. My mother said it's the best line. That's a favorite line. Anyway. That was a favorite one. The silence was deafening, and we listened. 35, 40 years of silence. So we were brainwashed at my parents' table to respect the Rabbanim. So we went to school, and we listened to what the Rabbanim said. The main two Rabbanim, Rabbi Einemer Zatzal, and Yabadu Achaim, Rabbi Hayat Shlita. And that's what it is. It's a big deal. You have to do this. And it's a big problem out there, and it's people, you're shooting yourselves in the foot, and yourselves too. Eile toldos Noach, Noach. Who's Noach's most primary descendant? Noach was. That's based on the, that's what the Mashgichim say, based on the Medrash. We're training ourselves too. So you want to talk well about the local Rabbanim. The Rav says a drasha. Ooh, it's a nice drasha. You say it over. You train your kids. Oh, the Rav says good drashas. What if you don't like it? So don't talk about it that week. But you find something to like. Your kid's sixth grade Rebbe comes home. Your child comes home with a Bar Torah from a sixth grade Rebbe. Ooh, it's so nice. What a great, you have a great Rebbe. What a great Bar Torah. What a great Rebbe. So what are you doing to your sixth grade son? What are you training him? What are you training him?
Love
to love his Rebbe, to respect his Rebbe. What if somebody has a kasha on the Rebbe's Bar Torah? But that doesn't make sense. What about this? And you don't have an answer. So what do? This is extra credit. That's what I do. What? Correct. You say at your Shabbos table, I'm going to ask the Rebbe that question. And you come back next week with an answer. That shows your whole family, I respect the Rebbe, I take him seriously, and I trust him, he has a good answer, we come back, we discuss it next week with an answer. You get it? That's a big deal, that's what you do. That's exactly what you do. That's a good question. I'm sure we'll ask him, we'll see what he thinks about it. You come back the next week, and you train your kids to respect their Rabbanim, and like their Rabbanim in school. See, who's going to influence your children? There's a guy out there that's a genius, knows everything, instantaneously. His name is Dr. Google. He can give you an answer to any question you want, any time in your life, anywhere. 4 million answers, 250,000 answers within 2 seconds, half a second. So that's where you want your kids to get information from. Hopefully from their Rebbeim, they'll listen a little bit. So you gotta, that's it, it's up to you. Whether your kids respect their teachers is up to you. There's a famous gadol in Israel whose son wasn't so into learning. And the janitor of his yeshiva was into learning. So this gadol was bothered by them. So he asked another gadol, what happened? So there are two versions of the story, okay? What happened? What the other gadol answered. One version is, in your house, everything was learning. At the Shabbos table, you're back to learning. You don't waste time on Zmiros. And in his house, they sang Zmiros. It was pleasant. That's an important answer, okay? Then there's a second answer that's in the books. Here's the answer that he says. You're a big Talmud Chacham. When your son came home with Divrei Torah from school, you felt it was like competition. So you would point out the mistakes. No, that's not the pshat of Rashi. No, that's not what he says. And you would point out to your child that his Rebbe's vort wasn't such a good vort, because, you know, you're a big Talmud Chacham, so you knew a lot. No, that's not the way to read it. The janitor didn't know anything. His son comes home with a Dvar Torah. Oh, wow, that's a great Dvar Torah. Beautiful. So his son was trained that his Rebbe knows what he's talking about. And your son was trained that what? His Rebbe doesn't know anything. You hear that? That's a scary story. That's a scary story. Those are the two versions of the story. So you guys, you got to, Rabina's right, and talk positive. That's what I do. My show Rabbi Speaks 40 minutes every Shabbos, roughly. 35, that's a long time. So I sit over at the Shabbos table. I try to be normal, although I wear a jacket, but I still try to be normal. And I sit over in like 35, 40 seconds. We try to be a little normal at the table. And I squeeze, there's a little condensing going on. But I say it over every week. Beautiful Dvort the Rav said today. And I say it over every week. I got that from my parents. My father didn't say over the Dvar Torah. But it was just never a negative comment. Just nothing negative. Only respect for the Rabbanim. They came to my house a lot when they wanted to build something in the shul and do something. My father was president of the shul twice because the rabbi asked him. And he wouldn't say no. He wouldn't say no. My mother knew he wasn't. My mother knew my father wouldn't say no to the Rav if he asked him to be rabbi, to president the second time. So she tried like to hide the phone. In other words, you know, this is before cell phones. Like, you know, answer, no, he's not around. Because she knew he wouldn't say no. But he got through and he asked him, and my father said yes. And he was president of the shul twice. Being president of the shul is a big responsibility. It takes a lot of time. My father helped build it. So we say it over. And what happens when you say over your shul rabbi's Dibur Torah at the Shabbos table? What happens? Maybe your son will marry His daughter. That's what happened. I told you. My son married his... I told you, right? My oldest son married my shul rabbi's daughter. Yes. Sure. So I guess it's okay to talk about your rabbi in a positive way at the Shabbos table. So it works. It works. When the rabbi applied for a job 15 years ago, came to the shul, so I had one question. Do you have any six-year-old daughters that are looking, whatever? That was my question, and that was a joke. I didn't really ask that. I'm not that crazy. I didn't really ask that, but that's what worked out, Baruch Hashem. And 15 years later. Guys, it's big stuff.